All right, pick it up, Lazar. Perek Beis. Just to recap what happened last week. Basically, we have Rabbi Eliezer, who was working for his father in the farming business, and he decided that he wants to go off and learn Torah, and he was crying a lot, and he ended up meeting Eliyahu HaNavi, and Eliyahu HaNavi gave him an etzah to go to Yerushalayim and learn by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he went to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he was having a little trouble fitting in over there. Because, you know, he was smelling, because he was fasting, and then they kicked him out, and then he was crying that he got kicked out. And at the end of the day, everything worked out. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai hooked him up with people to give him food, and he was able to eat, and it seemed like he was getting used to his stay in yeshiva. And, you know, you think it's a happy ending, but we have one more part of the story that we have to reconcile, Rabbi Eliezer with his family. That's what Perek Beis is going to be about. Rabbi Eliezer, remember, ran away from his family. He ran away from his father and his. So, how are they going to come back together, and what's going to be their interaction between the two? So, let's see. Perek Beis. Omru bonov shel Hurkanus laavihem. The sons of Hurkanus. So, Rabbi Eliezer's father's name was Hurkanus. Right? We said that Hurkanus was one of the chashuv balabatim. He was one of the big rich people over there in Eretz Yisrael. So the sons of Hurkanus said to their father. Let's go to Yerushalayim, and we're going to excommunicate Eliezer, your son, from your property. We're going to go, and why do you have to go to Yerushalayim? Because, you know, they have the ledger, or the, you know, they have the records. Make sure that we're going to legally go to the court, and make sure that we're going to disown our brother. Make sure they tell their father, let's go disown Eliezer. Make sure that he doesn't get any portion in the inheritance. He ran away from the family. He's not. The Bais HaGadol says that the pshat is that they told their father, they convinced him. You know, he ran away from you when you're an old man, and you need extra help, and he ran away. And you think that he's, after you die, he's going to come back, and he's going to want a portion like all the other brothers that are still here. No, we don't want to have any of that. Let's get rid of him from part of the family. We're kicking him out of the family. But apparently, in order to do that, you have to go to Yerushalayim, to go to the capital, to go to the government offices, and make sure everything is beseder. Otherwise, afterwards, he's going to come and say, you know, the halacha is I get Yerusha. So you have to formalize it and go to the Misrata Pnim or whatever, however they do it.
Historically, how far after Bayit Sheni is this?
This is before. This is in towards the end of the Bayit Sheni. It's during the Bayit Sheni.
So why wouldn't they go there?
Why wouldn't they go where?
Why do they have to go to government offices? Why wouldn't they go to Bayit Sheni, to the Beis Din?
Well, I'm saying, could be that's what it means. To Yerushalayim, to whoever was in charge of these things. It was definitely under Roman governmental, what's the word I'm looking for?
Oversight,
whatever. They were the ones in charge. So I guess you would have to clear it with them. Maybe that's the plot. Maybe it means to the Sanhedrin Yerushalayim. It doesn't really say. But the point is that we're going to go to Yerushalayim and disown Rabbi Eliezer. So, they went to Yerushalayim to excommunicate him. And they came to Yerushalayim, and they found that there was a special Yom Tov for Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. What it means, the term Yom Tov Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, means that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was making a special Suda. The Marzu suggests that possibly he had some sort of nace that happened to him, a personal nace, that he was making a Suda Seda, or maybe he was making a Chasana, or maybe he was making a Bris, a personal Simcha of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Or the Radal says something that makes a little bit more sense, that the Gemara uses the term Yom Tova L'Rabbanan to mean a Siyum. When you finish a Masechta, to make a Siyum. So Yom Tov L'Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai is like Yom Tova L'Rabbanan. He was making a Siyum, maybe. Whatever it was, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was the Nasi, was having some sort of party. And all the Chasheva people were there. All the big shot, everyone was there at this big Suda with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And the Medrash is going to list off who was there and explain a little bit about it. So we're going to a little bit go into this before continuing the story, because it's a little bit interesting. Ben Tzitzis HaKeses, Fenaktimen Ben Gurion, Uven Kalba Savua. These three people. First one is named Ben Tzitzis HaKeses, Naktimen Ben Gurion, and Ben Kalba Savua. Three different people. They were the Chasheva people. not the chashuva talmidei chachamim necessarily, but they were the chashuva, they were the rich people. Their names were on the side of every building. So the Gemara, the Medrash speaks about exactly why they called these names, and so a little bit about each of these three people. V'lama nikashmei ben tzitzis hakeses. Why is this guy called ben tzitzis hakeses? Which literally means the son of tzitzis, the pillow. What does that mean? Shahaya meisiv lamala migdala Yerushalayim. He would recline above the chashuva people of Yerushalayim. The way they used to have meals by the upper class was they would have sort of like these couches where they would like recline and lay down the couches. So he was so chashuv that he was like above everyone else. He was like the most chashuv. The Gemara in Gittin in Perek HaNezokin, when it talks about the Gemara is about the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, talks about Ben Tzitzis HaKesses and says two pshatim why he's named Ben Tzitzis HaKesses. One pshat, I don't exactly understand what this means, but the Gemara Tzitgurin al gabe karim uksosus. His tzitzis was dragging on pillows and covers while he was walking. And the Marshova there, that means that he was very careful in the mitzvah of tzitzis. Not sure exactly why that's called being very careful in the mitzvah of tzitzis, but that's the Marshova says. The other pshat that the Gemara says is Shahaya kisli munach ben gedolei Raimi. His chair was up there with the chashuva people of Rome. He had it in with the higher ups over there in Roman society. So that's ben tzitzis hakeses. The second one, Amra Nakhtiman ben Gurion. Nakhtiman ben Gurion, he's a shtickle famous person. Some people say that Nakhtiman ben Gurion, actually this is interesting, but Nakhtiman ben Gurion was the brother of Yosef ben Gurion. Yosef ben Gurion is known as Flavius Josephus, the famous Jewish Roman historian. He was a Kohen, who was a general, and he may have betrayed the Jews and joined with the Romans. But some scholars want to say that Nakhtiman ben Gurion was the brother of Yosef ben Gurion. It's not clear exactly that's Muchach Bechlal. And then there's, of course, David ben Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel. But that's a different story. So they say about Nakhtiman ben Gurion, Shehayu lo mizein shleish soim kemach l'chol echad ve'echad shehayu b'Yerushalayim. They said about Nakhtiman ben Gurion that he had three saw of flour for every person that lived in Yerushalayim. Now the Radal brings an alternate medrash that speaks about Nakhtiman ben Gurion, and the Radal says that it says in other medrashim that Nakhtiman ben Gurion had enough grain in his storage house to feed people, to feed the whole country for 10 years. And then the Radal makes an interesting cheshbon. It says, well, over here we say it has three saw for every person in Yerushalayim. So three saw, it comes out to be 18 kav. And there's a Gemara that says in Mesachas Erevin that one kav can be 9 meals. So if you do 9 times 18, it'll come out that this three saw is 162 meals. Now 162 meals is a lot of meals, but it's not 10 years worth of meals. So the Radal says that it could be that this midrash is arguing with the other midrashim. He wants to say that the Radal says that maybe it means that if for one meal he would have this much each person.
This is just Yerushalayim.
This is just Yerushalayim, yeah.
But there he would have one for everyone in
the whole the Arab. Right, it says Shal Medina. So that's a little bit of a description of Nakhtiman ben Gurion. The third person, Amrulov al ben Kalba Savua. The third person, ben Kalba Savua, Shahayaloi base Arba Kairin Shel Gines Teichan in Bezov. Ben Kalba Savua, in other places, his name is given as Kalba Savua, which literally, if you translate the name, Kalba means dog, and Savua means satisfied. And Chazal and other places say that his name is called Kalba Savua because if you came into his house as hungry as a dog, you would come out satisfied. So Kalba and Savua, beginning Kalba and then Savua. Well, either way, he was actually the father-in-law of Rabbi Kiva. We know Rabbi Kiva married the girl who was looking for a person who wasn't necessarily a Talmud Chacham but had the midas of a Talmud Chacham. That was the daughter of Ben Kalba Savua. But Ben Kalba Savua had what it says is as a base arba kairin shel ginais teichen and bezod. He had the amount of four kor is a amount of a square measurement. I don't know, square hectares or I don't know a measurement of area, I don't know, acres or something like that. So he had that much space, property of ginois, teichen and bezahav, of gardens where the Radal explains what it means is that he had gardens that if you sifted the ground of the gardens, you would find gold in it. He wants to change the Radal is not exactly sure of exactly the girsa over here of what was happening with Ben Kalba Savoy. He says that maybe it means it's supposed to say not Toychanin Bizahav, but Tsumchay Zahav. That things that would grow in dirt that has, you know, specks of gold in it or something. And you could, if you sifted it out, you could find gold. And it's interesting that the Radal says that this property that Ben Kalba Savua had that has gold in the dirt, he wants to say that it's not an Eretz Yisrael. I'll read you his lashon. He says, "Va'alkilim isim muskim b'shum okim oid shayinim tzayim Eretz Yisrael machatzay zahav v'kesef v'nitzarech lidchay shayiloi zel enaktima in b'chutz la'aretz." You have to say we don't find anywhere that Eretz Yisrael is not known for being a place where you can find gold. We never had any gold rushes in Tzfas or anything, right? We never hear about there being gold in Eretz Yisrael. So he wants to say that based on that you have to say that Nachtim Ben Gurion had these properties that have gold in it, not in Eretz Yisrael, in Chutz La'aretz. And this isn't his final explanation, but then he explains, he brings the psukim when it talks about Eretz Yisrael. He says in the psukim talking about the praise of Eretz Yisrael, we don't find that it says that Eretz Yisrael had gold. For example, it says in the pasuk, "Eretz Asher B'Leibim Eskenus Teichal Bolachem Leisach Sar Kolbei," the land which not with destitute are you going to be eating bread. It's not lacking anything. "Eretz Asher Avoneha Barzel Umehareira Tachzay Mechishes," the land which is mountains are made out of iron, and its rocks are iron, and its mountains are made out of bronze or copper. Also, we say in Parshas V'Zayis Abrocha, "Barzel Nechishes Min Alecha Chiamecha Davecha." So the we find in the Pesukim where it says about Eretz Yisrael that it has iron and it has bronze, but we don't find about Eretz Yisrael that it has gold and silver. And the Radal makes an assumption, which we're going to call into question in a moment. He says, if Eretz Yisrael had gold and silver, the pasuk wouldn't stand say, "Oh, it has barzel and nechishes." It would also say that you find gold and silver in Eretz Yisrael. From the fact that the pasuk doesn't say that Eretz Yisrael is gold and silver, we can deduce that Eretz Yisrael doesn't have gold and silver. And that's why he wants to say that this property of Nachtim and Ben Gurion wasn't in Eretz Yisrael. We said that Nachtim and Ben Gurion has property that if you sift the dirt of the property, you'll find gold. We don't find anywhere in Tanakh that it says that Eretz Yisrael has gold in it. So the Radal is saying that it must be that property wasn't in Eretz Yisrael, it was in Chutz La'aretz. And his raya was that from these psukim where it says that about Eretz Yisrael, that Eretz Yisrael has barzel and nechoshes, and if Eretz Yisrael has zav and kesef, it would have said zav and kesef, right? Because the Eretz Hashav now barzel and heretachs of nechoshes, it says barzel and nechoshes min alacha uchiamecha davecha, but it doesn't say anything about gold and silver. So from the fact that the pasuk doesn't say anything about gold and silver, but it does talk about barzel and nechoshes, you see that Eretz Yisrael doesn't have gold and silver. So he wants to say that these fields that Nachtim Ben Gurion had were in Chutz La'aretz, not in Eretz Yisrael. Interestingly, I found, just to speak a little bit more about this before moving on to finishing up the story, but I found in a journal called Kovetz Beis Aaron V'Yisrael from Carolyn Stolen. So they printed a few years back, they printed what one of the grandsons of the Sfas Emes wrote on the side of his edition of Pirkei Rabbi Elazar with the Radal. And on this shtickle, he says, look at Rabbeinu Bachaya in Parshas Eikav. So if you look in Rabbeinu Bachaya in Parshas Eikav, Rabbeinu Bachaya says like this, "V'tam asher avonah barzel," on this pasuk of Eretz asher avonah barzel u'maharera tachsev nechishes, "Tam asher avonah barzel b'mokim shetachshev shesham avonim shom timza barzel." What it means is Eretz asher avonah barzel, that its stones are iron, is when you would think that there would be a stone, there should be a stone over here, you'll check and it's not really a stone, it's really a piece of iron. Or when you would think that there's supposed to be a mountain, like a regular mountain, it's really it's an ore of copper. Right? The pasuk said, and then it says, so this is what it means when it says Eretz Yisrael lo yisechzar kolba. It's not lacking anything. Why? Lacking iron and bronze is a great lack for a land. If it doesn't have iron and bronze, that's a big chisorn. Because that's how they made all their vessels, the knives and other cutlery. And a lot of other things that they used in every plowing, and all these things that they made was out of iron and copper, iron and bronze. Gold and silver, it's not such a chisern if it doesn't have gold and silver. Rabbeinu Bachai is saying
that the Torah is speaking out that Eretz Yisrael has Barzel and Nechoshes, but doesn't speak out that it has Kesef and Zov, because if it doesn't have Kesef and Zov, that's not such a big deal. If it doesn't have Barzel and Nechoshes, that makes it that the land is lacking something, because Barzel and Nechoshes was, if you know anything about paleontology a little bit, so they have the Iron Age and the Bronze Age. So whatever that means to us, but we see that bronze and iron were the staple metals in that. If it lacked bronze and iron, it's a big chisorn. So the Radan wants to bring a raya that from the fact that the Torah doesn't say that Eretz Yisrael had gold and silver, you see that it didn't have gold and silver, and the Naktim and Ben Gurion's fields of gold must have been in Chutz Laaretz. But according to Rabbeinu Bachai, you don't see that from the Pesukim. Because the reason why the Pesukim Dafka spoke about Barzel and the Nechoshes is because those were the staple metals that were needed for society then. Gold and silver, if it doesn't have gold and silver, it's not such a big deal. Rabbeinu Bachai doesn't say whether it does have gold and silver. He's just saying that whether it has it or not, the Torah didn't feel a need to speak it out. So if you say like this, then you don't have the Radal's Raya. I found that a very interesting thing, that's why I spoke it up. Then the Radal wants to say another pshat, that what it means about Kal, that I'm sorry, we're talking about Kal ben Kalba Savua, not Naktim ben Gurim. But when it says about Kal ben Kalba Savua that he had these gold, so he wants to change the gears and say that it means Kireis Shahayaloi Palchin shall base Dalad Kirim Vechol Kireis Buchupe Zav. That he had a palace that was an area of four core, that the walls of the palace was plated with gold. That's a little bit more, I'm not saying that his field grew gold. Gold doesn't grow on a tree. But or another pshat that the Radal wants to say is that he had storage houses full of gold, and the storage houses were dalad kor big. Al kaponim, Ben Kalba Savua was a rich man.
No, there's a Gemara that says why he's called that.
What?
Kalba Savua.
Yeah, we mentioned that.
Oh, you mentioned that already. Okay, sorry. But here, it doesn't want to say that. It wants to say that he was just rich.
Well, it doesn't say, it's not talking about his name.
Why he's called Kalba Savua, as opposed to the other
By Ben Sutta the Kesset, it says why he's called that.
Why he's called that.
Yeah, it's interesting that why he doesn't decide to speak it out.
And here, it's talking about that these were the richest guys of the land, and they were at...
Right. Al-Kaponim, so there's this major party with all the rich people here, and that's what Hyrcanus comes to Yerushalayim, and he wants to excommunicate his son, and that's what he encounters. So Amru Loi, the students there came and they told Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai, Hare Aviv Shal Rabbi Eliezer Bo, Rabbi Eliezer's father is coming. So what does Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai say? Amru Lahem, Osu Loi Mokim, let's make a place for him. Osu Loi Mokim, Yeshiva Eisai Yetzlai. They made a special place for Hyrcanus. He was the chash of a person, but he wasn't like one of the shpitz, but they put him over there on the front table, right next to Rabbi Yechonim and Zakkai. So what does Rabbi Yechonim and Zakkai do? V'nosein of Rabbi Eliezer. He puts his eye upon Rabbi Eliezer. Now usually in Chazal, when it says that someone put his eye on someone, it's usually a bad thing, and the guy ends up dead, right? But here it's a good thing. He put his eye. Usually it's like in the ayin hara, like it's a bad thing. But here it was the Bais HaGadol says it. Nosan Eina Rebelezer, but ayin toiva. It was an ayin toiva. It was a good eye. He put his eye upon Rabbi Eliezer with the implication saying, "No, Rabbi Eliezer, maybe you could say some divrei Torah." Amar Lai, he said to Rabbi Eliezer, "Emar lanu dover achad min haTorah." Maybe you could say something, some divrei Torah here by the meal. So Rabbi Eliezer refuses to say divrei Torah, and instead he responds with a mashal. Amar Lai Rabbi, he says, "Rabbi, em shulucha mashal. I'm going to give you a mashal. Lama dover daima. What is this comparable to? Labor hazeh she'ena yachal ha'itimayim yeisir mimasha hayamaiti." To this pit, which can't release water more than it says in our Gersa Pekdos, it says Imasha Haya Maitzi, more than it releases, which doesn't make sense. It can't release more than it releases. The Marzu changes the Gersa to Yosef Imasha Haya Machnes. A pit of water can't take out more water than you put into it. So it says, Kachani any yochol loymar divrei Torah, so Rashi kivatim mimcha. So too, I can't say more divrei Torah than what I receive from you. So it's a joke for me to say divrei Torah in front of you. Like you gave me everything I had. So like, why should I say in front of you? It doesn't make any sense. That was Rabbi Eliezer's reaction when his Rebbe told him to say avart by this big suda. Amaloi. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said back to him, no. I have a different mashal. I'm shalacha mashal. I have a different mashal. L'ma'at davar daimah. To what is this comparable to? L'ma'yan zeh shahaya neveh o'maytzi mayim. To this a spring which is flowing and is releasing water. V'yesh b'kaycho l'haytzi mayim yas v'mashu machtis. There's a little bit of a spring coming in and at the other end the spring is still gushing out. Right? Even if a little bit is trickling in, it's still going to be pushing out more and more water. So to you, Rabbi Eliezer, you are going to be able to say divrei Torah more than what we were mekabel in by Har Sinai. Not just more than we were mekabel from me. The Radal brings that the girsa of the Vilna Gaon of the Gra was yosem mimashi kibul mimeni, more than what you were mekabel from me. But our girsa says yosem mimashi kibul mimeni. The Radal says that the Vilna Gaon didn't like our Gersa because we have other midrashim that say Afilu Masha Talmud Vosik Osted Loimar Lefnei Rabbi. That was even what a Talmud is going to say in front of his Rebbe. That was already said to Moshe Rabbeinu by Har Sinai. So you can't. So the Gaon understood that it's impossible to say more than what was said at Har Sinai. But our Gersa says that he said more than what was by Har Sinai. Last week we mentioned this idea that Rabbi Eliezer was able to understand certain secrets of the Paraduma that was not revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu. So you could understand that maybe this, the Radal says that this is an allusion to that idea, that Rabbi Eliezer was able to understand things that even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have by Har Sinai. The Marzu wants to say that in by Har Sinai they didn't really speak out everything. They just said in general all the different mitzvahs, and Rabbi Eliezer spoke things out with more details. So then it's more than what was said at Har Sinai. Okay. So Rabbi Eliezer didn't want to make a drasha. Amar lo, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to him, "Shema mimeni atam espayish. Maybe you're embarrassed for me. I'm your Rebbe. If I'm standing here, you're not going to say a drasha in front of me. But maybe Hareini oimid me'atzlacha. I'll go away from you. I'll stand away from you, and then you can make your drasha, and I won't be here." Amar Rabbi Yochanan v'halach le'lchutz. Rabbi Yochanan got up and he went outside. V'haya Rabbi Eliezer yeshiv v'dayrish. And Rabbi Eliezer started darshining. Upanav Meiris, Rabbi Eliezer Dan and he darshined. Upanav Meiris Karachama, and his face was shining like the face of the sun. The Karnais of Yotzes Karnais of Shalmeisha, and there were rays of light coming off of his face like the rays of light that Moshe Rabbeinu had. And you couldn't tell if it was their light because the light from his Torah was so shining and so luminescent that it lit up the day, it lit up the night. You couldn't tell if it was day or night. Like Las Vegas, they have all these lights, you can't tell when you're inside, you don't know what's happening. La'avdil. But he didn't know, that was the drush of Rabbi Eliezer, and it doesn't say what Rabbi Eliezer darshaned about. And said that he was darshaning, and it was all light, and the rays of... What was Rabbi Eliezer talking about? It doesn't say. So, interestingly, the Ramban in Shar Gemul, that's like the Ramban Sefer about like Olam Haba and things like that. So Ramban in Shar Gemul writes that, Amru Allah al Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, Kishahaya Derish B'maisa Bereshis, Hayu Karnois of Yaitis Kekarnois of Shal Moshe. That when Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol would darshan about Maisa Bereshis, so he would have these rays of light, like the rays of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ve'en adam yadeh im yam im laila. So it seems like the Ramban understood that Rabbi Eliezer was darshaning about Maisa Bereshis. And as the Radal points out, from Perek Gimel and on, for the next Pakim after Perek Gimel, it's talking about the story of Maisa Bereshis. So it makes sense that, you know, what was Rabbi Eliezer darshaning? The rest of the Sefer, or at least the next few Pakim of the Sefer. That's the way the Ramban says it. The Radal says that it's not Muchach, and he wants to say that maybe Rabbi Eliezer was darshaning other things, but we have a Ramban, and you know, that's what we can say, that that's the Pashtus. Maybe if we have more time at the end, I'll speak a little bit more about this Nekuda of Ein Adam Yodea Im Yom Im Laila. But it's interesting, the Radal brings up the Zohar says that when it sounds like from the Zohar when it's talking about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Eliezer, his son, that when it says over there about them that they couldn't tell if it was day or night when they were in the cave, it's not because they couldn't tell it was day or night because it was like physically light, but rather that they were so davuk to the light of the Torah that they weren't able to feel or to be sensitive to these physical changes in their surroundings. They couldn't tell if it was their light because they were so engrossed in what they were doing. But over here, Lav Dafka is at the pshat. Well, maybe we'll see later on in the end. Let's continue. So Rabbi Eliezer says this whole drasha. His Rebbe came up behind him and he kissed him on his head. Praiseworthy is Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that this person came from their offspring. Now, Omar Hukunas, who's the father of Eliezer, says, who are you saying that about? Omar Eliezer Bincha, about Eliezer your son. Great praise about Rabbi Eliezer. Amar lahem, shouldn't you have said this? You shouldn't say, oh, Ashrei Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, that this, you should say, praiseworthy is Hurkanus, that this guy is my son. The Marzu says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai set this up specifically to bring out the point that Hurkanus should appreciate that his son became a Talmud Chacham, and he should realize, you know, you're getting upset that I said Avram Yitzchak Yaakov instead of you. Well, you don't care that he's a Talmud. Apparently, the Marzu says that it could be that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai even realized that Hurkanus came to excommunicate Rabbi Eliezer from his property, and he was trying to show him that maybe you shouldn't do that. And it seems like it worked. So we don't see what happened over there with the continuation of that shakla v'tarya between Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Hurkanus. But the Medrash continues and says, Rabbi Eliezer yeshev v'darish v'aviv emir arad. Rabbi Eliezer was sitting down and darshaning, and his father was standing on his feet. Now the way it used to work was in previous generations, usually the person who was teaching would sit, and the people who were listening to the shir would stand. Right? Now we have the opposite. I'm standing, and you guys are sitting.
Also in Avos, though, Perek Rishon, Yossi Ben Yoezer, maybe then you should sit at the feet.
Have him misabik ba'afar aglerim shal talmid chachamim.
Is that
the lashon? Here, Rabbi Yosi ben Yoezer ish tsreda omer ye beis chabeis vada chachamim ve misabik ba'afar aglerim ba'afar aglerim.
So you're not saying exactly that
they should sit.
Okay,
you should you know kiss their feet like when you go visit the Pope, he kisses feet. Lahavdo, but. So it used to be that the person darshaning would sit and everyone else would stand. Nowadays, the Gemara says that the generations progressed, people became weaker. So just the person giving the shir would stand and then everyone else would sit.
Is that why it's called the yeshiva?
Here, interesting.
Somewhere it's coming that that's why it's called the yeshiva, because everyone there is going to sit.
Sit.
They're
I hear.
To hear the shir.
Interesting.
The rav stands.
I hear. Interesting. Akoponim, so Rabbi Eliezer was sitting, and everyone, including his father, was standing. His father was standing on his feet. When he saw that his father was standing and he was sitting, he was in the middle of his drasha, on the side over there at the head table, Rabbi Elazar's father and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had a little shakavatari about Ashrecha and whatever. But then Rabbi Elazar realizes, hey, my father is here and he's standing. And it bothered him. Nivhal, he was like confused, surprised. It was bothering him because even though lahalacha, if your father is meichal kvaidai machal, but it's still it didn't feel right.
It's halacha that he should.
Right, his father was meichal because he stood up on his own volition. He could have sat down or whatever he wanted, but he didn't feel right. So Amar Lo, Abba, shave. He said to his father, sit down, Abba. Sit down. I can't. I can't say divrei Torah, and you're standing. Not that I can't halachically, but I can't bring myself to do such a thing. Which, besides another nakuda, he could be showing his father is that he doesn't have anything against the family. It's not like not being mechabed you. It's just that I decided that I have to go learn Torah, and I still mechabed you. And ad kedei kach that it bothers me that you're standing when I'm trying to teach. Amaloi, interestingly, this is what brought out the his father to speak about this, to speak about what his father came to do. Amaloi bini, loyal kain bosi elonadezcha menuchasai. No, I didn't. Don't worry. I didn't come to hear your drasha. I came to excommunicate you from my property. Now that I came to see you, and I see all this great praise about you, and all these things are saying, and you're sitting here with all the Gedolei Yerushalayim, and they ask you to darshan, you became one of the Gedolei Hador. So now I'm going to do the opposite. Your brothers are excommunicated from my property. And I'm giving you as a matana all the property. He has to be given as a matana, because as we know, the Gemara in Bava Basra says that asur lavuyach santa afil mibro bish lebro tova. It's asur to change the inheritance even from a bad son to give it all to a good son. You're not allowed to do that. You can't play around. The Torah says all the sons get divided equally. That's the chayk that the Torah says. That's the way it goes. You can't play around with it. But if you give it as a present when you're still alive, then you can play around, right? Avraham Avinu gave to, he sort of disowned Yishmael. He disowned Yishmael and the Bnei Keturah. And to Yitzchak, he gave all his property. We say in this upcoming week's Parshat Chayisara, when Eliezer was going to find a shidduch for Yitzchak, says the b'chol tuv adonav b'yadai. He had all of Avraham Avinu's possessions in his hand. What does that mean? He had all his possessions in his hand. He had a document that said, "Now Avraham Avinu, he says, right, I hereby give all my possessions to Yitzchak." Right? So he had that document that was worth everything that Avraham Avinu had. So here too, Hyrcanus is going to give as a present all his property to Rabbi Eliezer. Amalei, v'harei ani eini shaveh ka'achad mehem. Rabbi Eliezer, he could be very rich after this, but he says, no, I am not even equal to one of my brothers. He's going to say he doesn't want anything. Or the Marzu says that he doesn't any shaveh ka'achad mehem. He writes, any shaveh ela ka'achad mehem. I'm not that I'm not equal to even one of them. It means I'm only equal to one of them. Don't give me the Yerusha instead of all of them. Rather, give me my own portion like each one of them. Ela karkois, ilu karkois, bikashim lefnei kodesh baruch hu, hayolofonov litenli. If I wanted property, if I would have asked Hashem for property, He would have given it to me. Shneimar Hashem aratzim lo yoh tevil v'yeshebah. The land belongs to Hashem, everything and everything that's within it. If I would have asked Hashem for gold and silver, He would have given it to me. To me is the silver, and to me is the gold, the word of Hashem. host of the legions, or whatever they call it. Now that I'm only requesting from Kadosh Baruch Hu that I should be able to sit and learn Torah, Shadamar, brings the pasuk into Tehillim, Al Kain, Kol Pekudei Chol Yisharti, all the Pekudei Chol, the statutes of everything, which is the Torah, Yisharti, that's straight, that's what I want, and Kol Orach Sheker Sanesi, all the paths of falsehood, which is the beer, the Beis HaGadol says, is referring to all in Yoni Olam Hazeh, which are considered falsehoods, that Sanesi, that I hate. So Rabbi Elazar is saying, I don't want to be nana from the fact that I'm a Talmud Chacham. If I wanted all these things, I could have gotten it. Hashem could have given it to me, but I don't want these things. I just want to sit and learn. The question is whether he's saying, don't give me any Yerusha B'chal, or he's saying, just give me Yerusha like everyone else. That's the point. It could be the Marzu, when he talks about this, he's sort of misupak, whether Rabbi Elazar is saying he doesn't want anything B'chal, or he just wants the same chelik as his brothers. Could be that the word is that if he wouldn't have been a big Talmud Chacham, so his father came to excommunicate him completely from his property. So then he wouldn't have gotten anything. And now that he's a Talmud Chacham, so he wants to get everything. But before it would have been nothing. So the fact that he's a Talmud Chacham would mean getting something over nothing. So then he's saying, no, I want to get nothing. Or the other pshat is that he just wants to get at least the same portion as everyone else. That's it for basically for Perek Gimel. There's just Perek Beis. There's just two nekudas that I wanted to speak about. Two interesting ideas. One is like this, based on what we learned in this Perek, it just comes out very interesting. The Lashon in the Mishnah in Maseches Avos in Perek Beis. Mishnah Yud and the way the Mishnahs are broken up over here, but they're broken up differently in different places. It says Chamisha Talmidim Hayale Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai had five Talmidim. Rabbi Elohim, Rabbi Elazar Ben Hurkanus, Rabbi Shua Ben Chananya, Rabbi Yesi Akoyin, Rabbi Shimon Nisanel, Rabbi Elazar Ben Aruch. Rabbi Elazar Ben Hurkanus, that's the hero of our story. Rabbi Shua Ben Chananya, who in the Hakdama we mentioned that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shua are always arguing. So that's this Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, Rabbi Yosi HaKoyen. I didn't make a point of this last week, but when we spoke about the two hosts, who was hosting Rabbi Eliezer, so he said, who are your hosts? He said, Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, Rabbi Yosi HaKoyen, these two people, who are also Tamin Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, who one of them would be later his bar pluk, say his interlocutor, or I don't know how to say the word in English, something like that. So Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai would speak about the praises of all five of his Talmidim. Now listen to what he says over here, and tell me if any of them sound familiar. Hu hayamayna shvachon. He would say over their praises. Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanus, bar sud she'ena ma'abed tipa. Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanus is like a pit that was filled with plastered, so that if you fill it up with water or something, nothing will get lost, because it won't get absorbed into the ground, because there's plaster, but it won't absorb. Rabbi Yishuv ben Chananya, Ashrei Yeladatei. Rabbi Yishuv ben Chananya, praiseworthy is the one who gave birth to him. Rabbi Yosi HaKoyen Chassid, he's a pious person. Rabbi Shimon ben Nisano, Yirei Chet, he's fear of sin. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, Kemayana Mizgaber, he's like a powerful stream. It's interesting that in our parak in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, when we have this interaction between Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai and Rabbi Elazar, we have him talking about three out of these five praises about Rabbi Elazar specifically. Well, the first one, Bor, Rabbi Elazar says about himself. Fine. The second one is Ashrei Yeladatei, which was what Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai used to say to get Hurkanus to see the greatness. And the last one is Kemayana Mizgaber, which over there in the Mishnah he says about Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, but over here in Perkei Rabbi Elazar he says it about our Rabbi Elazar. So Sam, it's interesting how it fits with the Mishnayos over there. Maybe it's like you see that Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai uses those phrases, those expressions. Another nekuda, as I said before, that we'll talk about this, that it said that when Rabbi Elazar was darshaning, you couldn't tell if it was day or night when he was darshaning. So there's a very interesting stira in two different stories that are brought down, not a stira, but a ha'ara in two different stories that are brought down, very similar stories, and the Adaris wants to say a pshat. We know in the Haggadah Shal Pesach, It's a famous story. Maisa b'Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Kiba, Rabbi Tarfon, Shoyim Musubim b'Bnei Rak. They were having. It's not clear if it was talking, if it was Pesach or if it wasn't Pesach, but they were having a Musubim in Bnei Rak. For him, Misaperim b'Yitzir Tzraim Kol Yisrael Laila. They were talking about Yitzir Tzraim the whole night. Ad Shaboyel Talmidehem v'Amar Lahem Rabbi Seinu Gizman Kriyashma Shal Shachas. Until the Talmidim came knocking at the door and said, Rabbi Yisai, it's time for Kriyashma. You're gonna miss Man Kriyashma. So they were learning, handling the whole night in Yitzis Mitzrayim, and they didn't realize that it was day till the Talmidim came. And there's a similar story in the Tosefta. It's brought in the Tosefta Perek Yud Maseches Pesachim. It says Ma'ase b'Rabban Gamliel v'Zakenim shehayu mesubin bebeis baisus ben zaynim belut. Rabban Gamliel and the elders were having a suda pashtus on Pesach night, also in the house of Baisus ben Zainin in Lud. It's interesting that Lud was, we said, the place where Eliezer was the Rav. Voyoeskin behelchos haPesach kol alayla. They were handling helchos haPesach. I think another Girsa says that they were handling Yitzis Mitzrayim the whole night. Ad Kris Agever, all the way till the what's it called, till the crow, not the crow, the rooster, roost crows. And Kevin Sha'Allah Amur Shachar Higbim once the sun came up, Kevin Sha'Allah Amur Shachar Higbim Lifnim, they lifted up their eyes, Vinaya, they lift up their eyes, Vinayadu, and they became known to them that it was day. And they went to the shul. So here, once it became sunlight, they realized, and then they went to shul. In the first story, in the Haggadah Shal Pesach, they didn't realize until the Talmidim came knocking at the door. So what's the difference between the two? So the Adaris wants to say a very interesting pshat. The Adaris has a pirush on the Balaturim on Chumash. It's called Ateres Adar. In Parshas Vayikra, he talks about this. He writes that in the story in the Haggadah Shal Pesach, who is there? Who is among the people that was participating in the Suda? Rabbi Eliezer. Now, when Rabbi Eliezer is there and he's darshaning, you can't tell the difference between day and night. So they couldn't tell the difference between day and night until the Talmidim came knocking at the door. In the story in the Tosefta Pesachim, it doesn't say that Rabbi Eliezer was there. So there, once it came crack of dawn, they were able to see that the sun is coming up and they get up. But when Rabbi Eliezer is there, you can't tell the difference between day and night. That's what the Adaris wants to say. But Rabbi Yaakov Chaim Sofer, grandson of the Kaf HaChaim, he has a Sefer called Kerem Yaakov in Simin Yud Dalet. He brings down this Adaris and he says it's not Muchach, because we don't find in the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer over here that it says that every time Rabbi Eliezer was darshaning, you couldn't tell the difference in day and night. It says in this story, when this happened, you weren't able to tell the difference in day and night. But it doesn't say every time he darshans. It's not Muchach what he's saying. It's a cute part. Alright, that's the end for Perek Beis for this week. Just to give the schedule for what I'm hoping to do, if we still have people. This week was Perek Beis. Next week and the week after that is going to be Perek Gimel, which is going to be the story of the beginning of Ma'aseh Bereishis, what Hashem created the day before. The day before Ma'aseh Bereishis, what Hashem created the first day of Ma'aseh Bereishis. Perek Dalet talks about the second day of Ma'aseh Bereishis, which is the day that Hashem created Malachim. And when he starts talking about Malachim, he goes into Ma'aseh Merkava and all kinds of Kabbalistic things. We're going to skip Perek Dalet, at least for now. And then we're going to do Perek Hay. So we're going to do Gimel for 2 weeks, and then Hay, which should take a week. And then Hay is talking about the third day of creation. Then afterwards, it talks about the fourth day of creation, which is about the celestial bodies, the sun and the moon and the stars and all these things. It goes into a lot of astronomy and astrology and zodiac and these type of things. We're going to skip that as well. So we're going to do Hay, and then we're going to skip Vav and Zayin. And then Ches, which is still talking about the fourth day of creation, but it's not as technical, but it's more about different, like Soed HaIbor, about adding an extra month to the year. That we're going to do. So we're going to do from Ches to onwards, and that's going to be that's the schedule basically till Hanukkah, and then we'll see what happens afterwards. All right, a good vlog. Thank you for coming.